Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. The Adam Carolla Show celebrates a decade of podcasting. March 10th at the Peterson Auto Museum. The fun begins at 2 p.m. with the 10-year anniversary show, CarCast, with Adam Carolla, Matt DeAndrea, and special guest, Jay Leno. Plus a celebrity car show throughout the day. At 5 p.m., join us for the screening of Uppity, the Willie T. Ribbs story, followed by a Q&A with the Ace Man and Willie T. And at 8 p.m., the 10-year anniversary podcast of The Adam Carolla Show, featuring Adam's better half, Jimmy Kimmel. Tickets for CarCast, The Car Show, and the Uppity screening are still available. Get yours now at adamcarolla.com. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, and streaming live on YouTube, this is The Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and the deaf frat guy calls in for a round of JV or all balls. And now, a racist, a con man, and a cheat, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. That's about all we got these days is you sharing. I want to thank MedMen for this half of the show and Raycon by Raycon.com. Enter Adam 20. I'll tell you about that. Castrol, the Castrol Challenge. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian.
I got kids yo age.
All right. Much to get to, talk about, complain about.
You did a lot of sitting around last night. Oh, wait. No.
I did a lot of running around last night. I had a very on-brand Mike August move, which is Mike came out to Kimmel's because Mike up the street was seeing the opening of Cats, the musical.
At the Pantages.
Now, Mike hates musicals, but his wife loves musicals, so he's going to musicals. And he was lamenting how much he hated this days earlier to me. And his big argument about musicals is too much singing. And I was like, well, that's what musicals are. And yeah. He's like, I get it, but enough with the singing. And I said, well, Mike, that's
part and parcel.
That's why it's got the word music in it.
You
know,
the title.
Said, these are musicals, you know, and he's like, I get it. But if they could talk more, and I'm like, then it'd just be a play.
Yeah.
It's called Death of a Salesman. But these are musicals where they sing. And he's like, I know. I just don't get all the singing.
And he went to the worst musical for that.
Yeah. So I'd have like seven laps around Retard Park about how musicals work.
Right. It's an art form unto itself.
And why he doesn't like the singing part of musicals.
Sure.
And it's what's with the fruit salad? It's all fruit. Can you get some goddamn iceberg lettuce in there? Well, Mike's called fruit salad. Yeah, I understand, but does it have to be all fruit? Yes, it's called fruit salad.
I just like the fruit part.
We need apples, pears, and bananas. It's fruit salad, Mike. Yeah, I get that it's fruit salad, but what's with the fruit?
I'm cool with food. I'm cool with salad.
Sounds like. So he had to come in, and he was with his wife, Doreen, and they were going up the street. So they were there early, and he was lamenting us a lot of having to listen to people sing in these things called musicals.
Did he walk the red carpet with the Instagram cats?
Oh, really?
They were famous Instagram cats.
Oh,
they're like Mango
Jesus
Brown.
Jesus Christ.
And, I was supposed to go. We were child-rearing last night, but I was supposed to be there.
I said I quite like musicals. I enjoy musicals. First off, you know me. I appreciate. I see Yoko playing. It's the greatest. It's like when it's like she's up there with John Lennon and Chuck Berry. And not only is she screaming into the mic and screwing up Chuck Berry and old film footage, but she's playing this weird, hollowed out gourd with her hand. And like everyone else playing the sax and playing the bass guitar.
Sure.
It's like, oh, yes, everyone's doing something and you're not. But whenever I go to a musical, I go, oh, my God, I could never do that. I mean, look at that. And, oh, my God, I could never do that meets tons of prep. Yeah. Tons of rehearsal, tons of discipline. And I go, I love that.
And 100 people doing it all at once.
All at once. And I love it. Okay. So Mike doesn't share that feeling. Mike also Mike also did a very on-brand kind of Mike move, which is I am the exact opposite of Jimmy in this department. Jimmy, before the Oscars, would happily invite friends and family members to, like, come into the green room and hang out, you know, and chat and talk and whatever. I hate that. My feeling is I am running these beats in my head. I have an order. Jimmy's going to ask how the family is, or I've been watching the news, and then we're going to transition into another subject and another subject. And each subject has beats and jokes within the subject, and I need to have them all locked off in my head before I walk out there, because it's not like, well, I'll just go do the bit where I do the bit and I do the bit. It isn't a song that I know. It's it's bits from lots of songs, and we're going to kind of put them in order, and it's not going to be on a teleprompter, and there's going to be no buck slip out there. I just have to remember the beats. So I want everyone to clear out, but Mike cleared in to the dressing room, and so you do your segment, producer, and you always kind of go, well, here are the jokes I want to do. Here's the stuff I want to talk about. And what inevitably happens is the order gets turned over, and the three ones that you knew the best and felt the strongest about get knocked off, and the four ones are put in a different order and put up front. And that's just how it is. And there's no really monkeying with that. There is... Here's seven things I want to talk about in sort of order of importance to me. Then there is Jimmy's going to get it. Jimmy's going to take it, and Jimmy's going to put it in order. And he's going to scrub a few, and he's going to add one or two, and he's going to put it in order, and then he'll hand it back to you at 4 PM, 5, and you know, an hour before the show, and there's your order, and that's what's happening. And so you go, okay. So it's always a little, okay, I like that joke. I could have done that one in my sleep, but that one's gone. And then we're now in a different run order and fine. So they give you the sheet, and the sheet just basically has, you know, Jimmy's going to say, how's the family? Or have you been traveling? Or how's your Christmas going? And then you're going to fill it in with these jokes. And then, so you have the sheet and you're like, you got your Sharpie out and you're making little beats and little notes and little reminders and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I'm sitting on the sofa doing this. Mike comes walking in with his wife, Doreen. I say, oh, yeah, come on in. I'm going to hit the bathroom. He's complaining about cats.
I go, too much music.
I go to the bathroom.
Too many cats.
I come back. Mike's frosty cold beer is sitting in the middle of my page, sweating under the page.
Like,
there's a whole,
yeah, that's good.
There's a whole big glass coffee table, and there's another vanity thing with the lights and the stool and the love seat. And he's sitting where I'm sitting, and he takes his beer and he puts it right in the middle of my breakdown run sheet that I'm studying feverishly, and it just sweats a big circle in the middle of the piece of paper.
It's good.
It's really on brand with Mike, right? Like, also,
you know, it's just coaster.
I like the coaster idea, but when you have a glass table, it's basically one big coaster. It's not, you know, raw mahogany.
You're not gonna warp the table.
Yeah, it's like, wipe it down.
You know, and it's a green room of a talk show. We're all right. So puts the beer there, starts complaining about cats, which I
helpful
enjoyed.
For what you're about to do.
Then I got the weird. Then I got the thing from Lynette and Natalia, which is you got to go see Lady Gaga. Mm-hmm. You got to get a shot for Lady Gaga. Got to tell her I'm Italian. Tell her I'm Italian. I said, okay. So then I went up the hall, which is 10 feet, to Lady Gaga's room. But Lady Gaga's got a person standing outside and five people inside, and she's got an entourage. And then I do the I'm Adam, and I'm up the hall, and I'm doing the show, and I'd like to say hi, and could I do that? And then she's getting ready, and she's getting mic'd up. And it's like, okay. And then they go in, and then they come back, and then you just stand there. And then I go, well, I'll just say hi to her after the show, like when she comes off stage and I'm coming on stage. And the guy's like, no, she knows who you are. She likes you. She's getting dressed. So just wait a second. So I just waited a couple of minutes outside, talked to the security guy, and went in, and the Lady Gaga. And I can never figure out when they go, oh, yeah, we know you. Yeah, we're all fans. Everyone here's a fan. I'm just like, are you or do you just know or how's that
Who
work?
Who just coached you up?
I never want to break it down, but.
Love, John. Weekend update.
Yeah. So your Burt Reynolds is amazing. So we just stood there and then we took a little picture and.
Was she cordial? Is she
totally
warm?
Friendly? What's totally nice.
Ice queen.
Had a nice conversation, little conversation, and then told her Lynette was Italian, and then told her I was half Italian, and she said that makes
Who's
you
Lynette?
Italian, right? Probably said my wife. And then
did you call her Stephanie? Did you call her Lady Gaga? Did you call her?
I didn't call her anything. I don't think. And then it was kind of nice, and she was walking off stage, sort of when I was being brought mm-hmm. to the backstage area. And she just like walked past me and like high-fived me and went like, good luck, you know, and I was like, okay.
All right.
So she was real nice
she
and
buds.
that was nice.
I saw the social media, Lynette and you, I assume Natalia was too sick to participate.
Yeah, she was too sick. She's still too sick and she's on the sofa when I left this morning.
Was she devastated that she missed Lady Gaga?
I don't know. I went to the screening. I got home late. I think she was like passed out.
It's hard to be devastated when you're really sick.
That means you're really
sick.
You
know what I mean? Like, yeah.
That's how you know.
Yeah. There's a little update I'll give you guys on Ocean's 8. It goes deeper at the mausoleum, much deeper than you guys would ever imagine. And there's even more than what you probably know.
I want to know more.
Also, I'll give you an update on the Chicago screening, which I guess they started a half hour early and screwed up with. Also, Nate, 41, Portland.
Yeah, how's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
So you went to the original show and to the screening?
Yes, I went to the early show at the Aladdin, and we had bought three tickets, me, my wife, and my buddy, but she surprised me and had another buddy come in town, so she didn't go to the taping, so her and I went last night for a date night.
Oh, that's great.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. I think Portland probably sold the most tickets in the Portland area. Yeah. Vancouver.
That's surprising.
Yeah. So that's why we did the special there. So you had a good time?
Yeah, I did notice. I was looking for me. I didn't make the final cut, which I was disappointed in the crowd shots. But I did see a couple people in the crowd kind of pointing, going, oh, there I am. And it was a good crowd. Somebody did the Adam Carolla chant before. And
there's
a bunch of applause at the end.
Yeah, it's the Marco Polo chant.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I'm so glad when people go out and see it in the flesh.
Yeah, I think there was a little awkward at the end because everybody was like, hey, now we go take pictures with that. Oh, yeah, not here, but...
They start lining up.
And my wife wanted to raise her hand when you ask if anybody was married. She forgot for a second. She's been to live shows before. We go every time you come to town. Wouldn't miss it.
That's
well,
a big compliment.
Thanks so much, Nate. I really do appreciate it. And thanks to everyone who's come out and who will be going out because there's more shows coming up.
Yeah.
And I
Thank
do
you for
appreciate
doing
it.
It.
Hmm? Hey,
Quick
man.
Question.
Yeah.
Do you know what the breakdown was between the first show and the final cut, a little behind the scenes as far as did you use a lot of both? Was it? I was trying to remember, but it's been 8 months and I can't remember all the exact bits.
You know, it was funny when we did the two shows, and that's the way you do a stand-up special. You just do two shows and you whack them into one show and try to take the best parts. When we did the two shows, when I was done doing the second show, the consensus was, "Oh, the second show was much better." Sorry, I know you went to the first show. Everyone just went, oh, the second show is a lot better, so we'll just basically use the second show. And then as we started going through all the little bits, it became clear that we liked a lot of the stuff from the first show for one reason or another. I don't know why, but it turned out, and it turned into a little thing, like, okay, don't tell anyone which show this is from, and you watch both of the same bits, and you tell, oh, it was from the first show. I'm surprised, because the feeling was the second show was so much better. Mm-hmm. So the answer is, we could figure it out, but we're not.
Yeah.
And it went from, oh, we'll just use 90 second show and 10% first show. It's a little closer to 50-50 now, and I guess that's why you shoot two shows.
Perfect.
Thanks, buddy.
Well, it turned out really great. It looked good.
Well, thanks. That was Nate Adams did a very, very nice job of doing that, except for my Tumblr. Should I explain to him what I wanted? Yes.
Is there a bigger compliment than somebody interacting with a movie screen because you're
That's
performing?
Good. Yeah.
A white person doing that? Yeah. That is groundbreaking.
You really cracked the code.
Yes. That is.
Was there ever any thought? I just realized a missed opportunity. You should have sent along some cardboard cutouts to all these locations.
Oh, yeah, to take pictures
for afterwards. Exactly. I was at the Adam the comedy show.
I always get my picture.
Well, I was going to get, I didn't have one of me, but I had Bartles and James.
I just had a cardboard cutout.
It didn't have to be me. Bartles and James. By the way, so my kids will never understand that finding like a cardboard cutout of a NASCAR driver or something in the dumpster of a 7-Eleven was a big ticket item.
Oh, back.
Oh, that's going in the corner. Look at that, baby. Any kind of promotional anything, like a Budweiser blow-up Bud Light blimp or something that you could hang from your ceiling with fishing string or something. Oh, it's a big deal.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Spuds McKenzie.
It goes in your dorm room.
Let's see. Hey, Joe.
That update brought to you by Tune Out, the Mike August approved service that performs musicals with the songs taken out of them.
Tune Out. That's
Tune Out.
That's funny.
You come up with that just now?
To Mr. Cesario, I learned from the best.
That was a Chet.
Oh, I'm sorry. But.
Chet Waterhouse. Yeah.
But that was information that was revealed, 4 minutes ago.
Yeah, that's good. Good. You went to the Seattle screening?
Yeah, I did. That was fun. I'd heard a lot, about how you feel about your family and your childhood, but it didn't really hit home until like seeing the pictures up on the screen of everybody just with plates with baked potatoes on them, just baked potatoes by themselves. And that was what was prepared for someone knowing that there was going to be a picture taken. And it like, it really helped fill in a lot of the background for the stuff that you've talked about.
Yeah, well, the camera doesn't lie, as they say. It's worth 1,000 words. And my every picture or whatever stage we're at of my mom, she just looks like miserable. She just looks miserable in every single shot. It's insane.
You weren't sure she had teeth?
Yeah, it is
for
weird.
Lack of smiling.
Yeah, I say strange. It's not really strange, but it's. It's a weird way for an atheist to live. You know what I mean? Like, I get the part where you're born in Egyptian times and you're a slave and you're like, oh, I'll be dead when I'm 34 and I'm going to a place where the streets are lined with gold or whatever. And now I just have to sort of get through this life. But for the atheist who's living in modern times, it's just a strange choice to be that goddamn miserable.
To not enjoy it while you can.
Also, quietly, one of the most selfish, grandiose things you can do, which is I shall be miserable around you all the time.
Yeah. That's my default.
I shall
emotion.
Set the tone for the house.
Right. So you go ahead and try to be happy, but good luck.
You're drawn dead.
Talked about that quite a bit, that he feels like people have a moral obligation to be happy. And if you, for some reason, if your natural state is not happy that moment, you really owe it to other people to try and fake it till you make it. But even if you don't actually feel happy, it's like, being miserable around other people, it's like bad breath. I mean, it's a morally wrong thing to do to drag other people down. And he's made that point a lot.
I have listened to his words about that, and I completely agree. I don't think we kind of understand how much of that or how important that is or how the problem with being happy or acting happy or just sort of faking it till you make it is It's a massive thing that's not that exciting. It's sort of like we always talk where we keep getting back to put on those earbuds, listen to some classical music, take a long walk. And it's like, I don't want to do that. I want to do CrossFit at the gym. I want to swing those kettlebells around and blah, blah, blah. And you're
push a tire over.
Yeah, I want to take a big truck tire. Spew, and I want to do that move where I get the ropes that they use at the harbor. I'm going to take those ropes, man. I'm going to shake the bitch. I'm going to shake them like an infant or the bad babysitter.
Oh, no.
And like, I'm just going to shake. And it's like, or just start walking.
Yeah. Right.
Like, it doesn't feel that good. And being happy feels, well, first off, I think that people who act happy are simple. And I think there's an element of, see, my mom, her kind of thing was like, how can you be happy when the earth is falling apart? You've seen the Indian and all the garbage and the
white sugar
fish floating in the river and the white sugar. Like, how can you be happy? You seen Billy Jack? You see what's going on out there?
How can you smile?
Yeah, and it's like
innocent kids at a cut of ice cream shop.
Right, and we're kind of living in that world now where everyone is like, how the caps are melting, and you're walking around like Pollyanna, and it's like, well, first off, I'm not killing the ozone with my teeth, am I? Like there's no correlation.
I'm not
hurting things by being happy, right?
Right.
Like, okay, number one. Number two, while we're alive, before we drown, my kids could be in a better mood. Like, yeah. Why not? I think there's a kind of these people are intellectual heavies and they're thinking. And when you think, you can't be happy. I would argue you can do both. And especially as it pertains to the kids, man, you just fake it, man. It's the easiest thing in the world. You just come into the house and go, woo, yeah. And then, like,
then go in your office and drink quietly.
Right, right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Dignity.
Joe?
Yeah, well, when I have kids, I'll be sure and fake it
it. Or you can actually be happy either way.
That's on the table.
Dealer's choice.
That was the first choice, yeah.
Either way. But how big a bummer was my family?
But this show was a lot of fun, though. The stories that made you feel like it would not have been fun to be there, but it was fun to be at the show. And I'd seen it at the Moore Theater out here a couple months ago, and then a couple of years ago at the show at the Neptune Theater before that. So, I mean, this is a quite different experience, but it was still fun. You
know, thanks, Joe.
A little bit to the people there before and afterwards.
I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
Joe has a weird 2-second delay before he answers anything.
Makes him sound smug.
It's processing.
Makes me unhappy. All right, so Ocean's 8. I'll tell you about Chicago in a second. DFG's calling in. Somebody tweeted me on Ocean's 8. You can get me the breakdown, Max Zapata. I'll tell you guys. It goes deeper. So I watched the end of Ocean. I watched all of Ocean's 8. And then at the end, when she went to go talk to Danny, her departed brother, born in 63 and died in 18, I think. They pulled up on some other, I don't know
children.
What they call them, headstones on a mausoleum, but
markers, plaques,
or whatever on a mausoleum. Mm-hmm. And Max Pat, you can have the names written down somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. And the dates written down somewhere. And I'll tell you about, so it goes deeper because I was saying the one person was dead at 18.
Yeah.
And the other person was dead at like 30, and seemed weird to have those two names so close to where Danny Ocean was. One was born in 92, and the other was born in 1979, and they both died early. And then somebody tweeted me that Helga M. Meyer was the name of Sandra Bullock's mom.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Which is, all right. That's okay. So they
then
do
switch around the dates.
Yeah, nice tribute, I suppose.
They do that, but why are we making her mom die at 18?
That's even weirder.
So it now says to me, my initial. You have to do this. So my initial hypothesis is that they just left the rest of the mausoleum together, and that the guys. In the props department made one new square and just grafted it onto the middle one and had Sandra sit in front of it. That was my first one, because why else would you have people die at these confusingly young ages?
My first thought is they digitally replaced the name because they didn't have permission to use the name, maybe.
Possible.
And it would have been cheaper than probably building a new, having one of these built, and easier, quicker, for sure.
Oh, which one?
They probably digitally replaced a name. June Smith replaced by Helga Meyer.
Right. Okay. But the date was
right,
still the same
why,
date.
Yes, but why I leave the date?
Right. Why not do the whole thing?
And then we need more investigating.
Then we found out Helga is Sandra Bullock's mom's name.
Right.
And now that's okay. But then why
it's half okay.
The date's so young? And then the other one is Leo Heston. What's the other name?
Leo
Heston.
Now, that guy, like, worked the prop department, right?
Well, so if Ken will go to a wide shot of all the other names, and we Googled every single name on there.
God.
And they were either on the visual effects crew, the exact names of the people on the visual effects crew.
Like I said.
Or they have this. They share the same last name, so maybe it's like somebody's husband. Like Leo Hessen.
Well, you said they digitally replaced it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, but this, they're using names from the crew.
From the visual effects crew.
Visual effects crew.
Was that what you were saying?
Yeah.
It's possible.
Visual effects is digital.
The visual effects people did that.
I'm saying they replaced it digitally.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah.
Yeah.
I think Brian, but why are you doing an Excelsior thing?
No, Brian thought that you were saying they use an actual prop.
Yeah. I did. Initially. I did say that.
Yeah, so Brian's like, I think they digitally did
it. I agree.
It supports his argument if they're all from the visual effects department.
But I'm saying the names are from the department.
Yeah, so they're all from the visual department.
Because that is more evidence.
They just use their names. They did the whole thing digitally.
Yeah.
Right. Now, why did they do that? Why? So Sandra Bullock's mom was born in 1931 and died in or is alive. Why did they make
her? 42 to 2000. She was born in 42, died in 2000.
Okay.
So why not?
I thought that'd be a much better
tribute.
Yeah, tribute to her mom, then
making her an 18-year-old runaway.
Yeah, why that?
You're digitaling, like, so when you're going digital effects, you just do whatever you want. Make whatever date, punch in whatever date, put in whatever name.
They obviously had some fun with this by putting their own names in there and everything. So,
yeah.
Here's what I'm going to say. Are you ready? Because you have Sandra Bullock's mom, and then you have, I got to talk to Chris Morgan about this. He's worked with Sandra Bullock. And then you have this other person who died way too young next to Leo Hessen as well, and all the other things. Here's what I'm going with. I have a final rendering. The digital effects guys just went, we can't use any of these people's names. Replace everyone's name. They didn't say replace any dates.
Yeah.
They just said replace everyone's name. Mm. The dates, we're not going to get sued for the dates. And why don't we just take Sandra's mom, and why don't we take you, and why don't we take the guy catering and just replace all the names and we won't get sued.
We did it.
And that'll be that. And if you do the dates, then it's going to take a little more computer work. And why bother?
A little money, a little more time.
So leave all the dates, change all the names, and that's where we are. But somebody should have stopped and still went, let's spend an extra 10 minutes on the CAD here for Sandy's mom.
Making sure they're old enough to drink.
Yeah, because if you're doing that, I mean, you're spending time on each frame trying to digitally replace the name. So you're seeing that for hours.
Well, I hope this was thoroughly addressed in all the reviews. That's all. I know if you go to Rotten Tomatoes, you'll see many a paragraph on this. All right. So there you go. That's our answer, and I think we're satisfied with that.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody said, for legal reasons, no names. Swap them all. Put whatever names you want. And we don't care about the dates. No one will sue us. And they just happen to be unlucky with some poor kid who died next to him. I wonder what happened to that kid.
I don't know, do some digging.
Well, let's do some math. I don't know where they shot it.
Was it at Hollywood Forever?
Mausoleum. No, that's not a cheap ticket.
The movie takes place in New York because they robbed the Met Gala.
Right.
That ain't.
But that doesn't mean anything.
That whoever's name was there wasn't killed in the drive-by.
That's right.
This is a higher end.
Right. They end up in a mausoleum. Yeah.
This is yeah, and it probably
Gina.
Hey, it's a high end group, man.
Probably not killed at war. Right. You know, this is a first world.
This is an overdose situation.
White collar situation.
This is too much Ritalin.
Yeah. This is one of the autoerotic asphyxiation. I'd like to think.
Yeah, butt chugging.
And you know, you think Sandra Bullock?
I'm going the
hold on, Brian,
the most likely.
Yes, sorry.
You think Sandra Bullock would be the one person that would have had a problem with that? Like, that's my mom's name. Can we not make her a teenage girl that died?
Well, could we not make her dead before she gave birth to me?
Right.
Now.
Yeah.
The time-space continuum.
Exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we're getting in a Back to the Future. We're getting in a Terminator situation here. All right. Let me tell you about MedMen, and then we'll talk to Def Rat Guy. MedMen 2019 has just barely started, and history's already been made. The new normal is here. Have you seen it? Finally, the moment when a product that once drove good people to the black market has been revealed to be one of that is, sorry, revealed to be one that's creating a global market now. What an inspiring symbol this counterculture is. And it's not counterculture anymore. It is just culture, the new normal. It's arrived. And MedMen has helped usher that in. And there's a really interesting short film that I think we've all seen.
It's very cool.
It's about it's 2 minutes long, exactly. New normal seeks to leave behind 80 years of unjust prohibition in favor of a safer, happier world. You got to check out this vid, and then at some point we'll tell you who the director was.
Really puts things in perspective, this short movie.
Very, and it's as much as you can get into 2 minutes.
Yeah,
I will
absolutely.
Say that. Watch this video experience at the new normal at medmen.com. That's medmen.com. Check that vid out. All right, Max. Let me just quickly say that if you went to Chicago, they screwed up. They started the screening too early. You will get a refund, and we will reschedule that as well.
Yes? Sure, people want to see it.
Yeah, check your emails. They're reaching out to everybody who bought a ticket for a refund. So.
And again, you want to pre-order, go to chassis, chassy.com, and you can go to iTunes and get it as well. Thank you in advance for that. All right, we'll take a quick break. DFG will be on, and we'll play JV or All Balls right after this.
And now, a public service announcement from Corolla Drinks.
For too long, leprechauns have been confined to only Irish and luck, but there is so much more to those little gold-loving fucks. Their athletic prowess is unrivaled. Just take a look at any NBA roster. They're terrific in the kitchen and are, most importantly, unbelievably sexy. Their 4 foot stature, luscious red beards, and perfectly askew yellow teeth make leprechauns irresistible, virile beasts in the sack, not to mention they have some of the most massive hogs in the animal kingdom. So, this St. Paddy's Day, celebrate the sexiness of leprechauns with our featured deal, the Sexy Leprechaun Kit. You'll get a bottle of white peach pear, a signed recipe card from Lynette, 2 Corolla drinks glasses, plus all you'll need to make this signature cocktail. So, head to CorollaDrinks.com now, and this St. Paddy's Day, remember, leprechauns are f***ing sexy.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, Ace Man, Mayor John Smith here from Plentywood, Montana. Just wanted to congratulate you on 10 years of podcarting. We are still waiting for the live show to make a stop here. If we can schedule the show in, say, June or July, the river will be thawed and we can do a fish fry, and I'll do a special order for some Parmesan cheese for Bald Brian. That's the one in the green can, right? Anyway, looking forward to another decade of podcasts. Keep up the good work. Bye for now.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got a funny story about Parmesan cheese in the green can. So when we first got Charlie, our dog, years ago, we were having trouble getting him to eat, right? Because he was a rescue. But we were having trouble getting him to eat. And one of our friends who had a young puppy about the same age, like, oh, we just put Parmesan cheese on top of the food. Dog loves it. He eats it up. We're like, oh, what a great idea. And Christy, being the foodie that she is, got a microplaner and a block of Parmesan cheese from Whole Foods.
That's
grating it. And I looked at him, like, I'm pretty sure they mean the Kraft stuff in the green can.
Fine with the sawdust.
He's got microplaning cheese on his food.
That Kraft stuff in the can was basically the food version of duct tape when I was a kid. Like, is it broken?
Anything.
Fix it.
Yep.
Go get the Parmesan. I don't like
top.
That. Go get that Parmesan and pile it on.
Yep.
And like, it could fix anything. Mm-hmm. It is the duct tape of food. It's weird. It's that. Like, duct tape isn't its own thing. It fixes things that are broken, and it kind of does it temporarily and long enough to get away with it.
A good enough job to get away with it.
Right. It's so funny. It's such a part of like everyone's childhood. DFG is on. Yes. Line 4. Hey, Def Rat guy.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, man. How are you?
Doing pretty well, dude. Happy 10th anniversary to the Adam Carolla podcast.
Yeah, thank you. You know, the mayor of Plentywood. So it seems such an old day before we could digitally change the mausoleum. I was sitting around doing Kevin and Bean with Jimmy the sports guy in like 1994, and I just came up with this Mr. Burcham character, the woodshop teacher. And the woodshop teacher got very popular very fast, and it quickly became obvious that he needed a story. Mm. Like, where's he from? Yeah. Is he married? Does he
exposition.
Have... Does he have a kid? And
backstory.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it's like I started working
Origin
out.
Origin story.
Yeah, I started like, oh, he has his dog, Sawbuck. He's a great dog, and blah, 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 and the names and the wives or the ex-wives or whatever. And then it's like, where's he from? And I like... got an atlas or map out or something, and I started looking through this map, and I didn't want him to be from Studio City. He had to be from somewhere cool, and I stumbled across Plentywood, Montana, and I was like, oh, perfect. Bertram's from Plentywood, Montana. So whenever it comes up, people are like, why you say Plentywood? It's like, because it's got plenty and wood in it.
Awesome.
And Bertram's a woodshop teacher, and there is such a place, and I just found it like back when you would open a map and like just look at it. So sorry, DFG, how say you?
I'm doing pretty good. This is very exciting. 10 years of doing the podcast. You know, we have many miles on this long road. Hell yeah.
Oh, thank you, man. All right, so Def Rec guy, should we play some JV or all balls?
Hell yeah.
And now, Mandria presents the Def Rec guy and JV or all balls.
Mandria! He calls from the frat house onto the show, the Def Rec guy hearing him. He's hammered all day long with Poochie Moose and Mike F. They chug some fruits, shoot potato guns, and then play Okie Cookie. If something's pushing, he'll make the call. So now it's time for JV Oro.
All right. It says here you're developing a new hangover cure.
Yeah, I want to leave a mark on the world, make it a better place. And the best thing I could figure out to do was to cure the human hangover.
Wow. That's good.
Dr. DFG's hangover cure.
Are you allowed to call yourself Dr. DFG if you're selling a supplement?
I'm not a real doctor.
Okay.
Just the brand.
Right. That's kind of what my question was.
Said he's not a real doctor.
No, I understand.
Well, did you not hear the man?
Hence the question.
Hence the answer.
It's like Dr. Pepper, not... dude. This is a free country. It's not Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
That's right.
Touche.
Right. It's Doc. What? People forget about Doc Martens, you know what I mean? Yeah, that guy's not a...
You're right.
Foot doctor.
Dr. Feelgood. We go on.
All right. You want to play JV?
I'm working on developing a property blend of, you know,
proprietary.
There'd be more to come from it. It's not, you know, it's not done yet. It's like putting, you know, it's one of the hardest things ever, but, you know, I'm up for it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, when you get that done, you come to us.
Please.
Hell yeah.
Do you have a tagline? Do you have a tagline for the product?
You got to sell the thing.
Yeah. It's a, you know, the tagline's a thing in quotes. Like italics below. My thing, what I'm thinking right now is, it really works.
Oh, that's catchy. You could probably put that behind almost any product.
I was going to say.
It's right off of Madison Avenue.
That's good, though.
Surprising has been used.
Yeah, it's probably.
Then I do the little TM sign right next to it.
Mm. Oh, yeah, the like, trademark.
It really works. TM.
Right, right, yeah. All right, TMI. All right.
The first one for JV or all balls. Is this is a pretty easy one, straightforward. Poochie's uncle is starting a prog rock trio, and it's like got a medieval sort of Game of Thrones theme to it. And the name, the question, JV or all balls, is the name he has for the band, Valerian Steel.
Valerian wow. Steele.
Right. Wow.
That's the state.
Right from Game of Thrones.
Black Panther, too. That's from Game of Thrones. Okay. Yeah. Let's see. Valerian Steele. So it's like prog rock is like Hocus Pocus by Focus was like a prog rock.
Yes, was a prog rock band.
Yeah, I think
Genesis,
so.
Maybe early Genesis.
Yeah, we got to look at Dawson over there.
This is I know. This is not my area of expertise.
This will have either. More Iron Mesh, probably.
All right.
with a medieval theme. Mm-hmm.
I like it.
It's due for a comeback.
Yeah, I'm going to say all balls.
Yeah, Game of Thrones is hot right now. I'm going to say all balls. This has a good chance of success. Yeah,
Game of Thrones, people are waiting. It's about to come back. This is a perfect time to strike while the iron's hot. It's all balls.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. It's cool. It's like, hey, let's go to the Sunset Strip and see that hot new band, Valerian Steele.
It's a good name.
Mm-hmm. Everyone's going to be saying that.
Pink Floyd is a prog rock band?
Yeah, Rolling Stone has it as top five prog rock albums.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Would not think that way. Yep.
It's so the next one is now that was easy. This one is going to be pretty hard.
Okay.
Like maybe the hardest one I've ever done.
Okay, we're braced.
Okay, here goes. Pitbulls.
Just okay. Pitbulls.
Pitbulls.
Pitbulls in general.
Okay. The story about the mauling on the plane or
it's
airport.
Not great optics for pit bulls.
Right? I don't think a lot of people listening know like what stunt dogs pit bulls are. Like I had a friend, Snake. Snake had a pit bull, and this guy's dog would. He would take a rock, like a big rock, and he'd throw it in the deep end of the swimming pool. And the dog just dive in and swim underwater, holding his breath, obviously, grab this big rock and just come up top and drag it back and just like jump at his feet. Like a lot of dogs won't jump in the pool. Other dogs will jump in and they'll kind of keep their head up or whatever.
Under.
Deep end. Oh, deep end action. And
amazing.
If you went hiking with this dude, and we have, and you'd come along some stream, a little pond or whatever, and the water was pitch black. Pitch black. Like just a kind of like thing when you're out in the forest, there's that sort
swampy.
Of swampy pile of water there that you don't want to get your feet in or whatever. He'd take a rock, a big rock, and throw it into the pitch black thing, and his dog just go right in. Now you can't see it. It's pitch black, and he just pop up with the rock, a big rock
That's
in its
awesome.
Mouth. It's kind of nuts, right? I'm sure you guys have seen footage. Like, there's footage of, like, these dogs going, I think it's a pit bull thing. So, They bite kids' faces off.
I just sent Chris a link. One of a great scene from one of our favorite movies, No Country for Old Men.
Oh, I love
he's
it.
He's running across the river and the dog's getting after him. Oh, what a great scene.
It's a great scene.
In the film, too.
Great scene. I got to go all balls.
Yeah, the pit bulls that we all know and familiar with, you know, the media is like, you know, they're terrorized and they bite children and that stuff. Those pit bulls are poorly trained and or trained to attack. Pit bulls can be very sweet. I've had friends who've had pit bull pet dogs and they're sweet dogs. I'm going to say all balls.
Yeah, anecdotally, these news stories are horrific, but I think Brian's right. I think it has more to do with who's in charge and their jaws lock, and that's just kind of the way they're made. But I've never known a non-sweet pit bull. I think they're all balls.
And can I liken it to this? Because, you know, I love automobiles. Vinny Tortorich, hold your ears. There's nothing bad about a Corvette. It's the owners. The owners are bad. They're bad. The owners are bad people.
That's a very good point.
And it's like, I feel the same way about pit bulls. It's their owners, right? It's not them.
Yeah. You realize I'm not a comedian.
If Vinny had a pit bull, it'd be over.
All right. Sorry. Go ahead, DFG.
Well, according to dogsbite.org, between 2005 and 2017, Doberman Pinschers killed 6 people. Bull Mastiff 14,
wow.
German Shepherd 20, you know, the Rottweiler number 2 at 45. Pitbull, on the other hand, number 1, 284.
All right.
Killed, dude.
Number 1.
Dead.
Wow.
What, is this good or bad?
They killed 284 people and be like, so are you going to be like, hey, yeah, the Pitbull, he mauled my toddler, but it's all balls.
Yeah,
you're right. You can't. I wouldn't do that. And not as a parent.
Right.
I'd say it's JV.
So
I probably wouldn't even make a declaration. I'd probably be trying to get him airlifted to a hospital.
Yeah, it's JV.
I mean, it's like, oh, these pimples are all bald. They latch onto something. They won't let go until the thing that they're biting is dead.
Yeah. So you're saying they're at two? They got a body count of 200 plus.
My God.
Where it's like a bull mastiff and all these other things are low teens or eight or
280.
Whatever.
284, bro.
Jesus. Wow.
284. So the next one is the Rottweiler at 45. I mean, that's, come on, dude. That's a big difference.
It's Jerry Rice.
I love
Rice.
Now, I've never met some nice pit bulls, but I mean, dude, to say they're all bald, I don't know.
We should all be ashamed of ourselves.
Yeah, you're right.
He was right. It was hard.
Yeah. It was hard. It may be JV. All right, are we all still tied up here?
Yeah, we all. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we're tied. It's your 10th anniversary. Let's have some fun. Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un.
Wow.
Kim Jong-un.
That's interesting.
He's the younger one, right?
Yeah, he's the son.
He's the dude now.
Okay, he's the one's alive.
Ill's son.
It's so weird because we're so, he is a macro version of Don King where you go, God, he stomped a guy to death in St. Louis, owed him $50. You're like, yeah, but look at him. Look at his hair. It's like, he ripped off everyone he's ever met. Yeah, but look at him. He's swinging.
So
he's got the American flag, and he's yelling only in America, and he's squeezing Vander Holyfield there. Seems like a good dude.
Right.
And you're like, nah, he stomped a guy to death, and he ripped off everyone he's ever met. Like, but look at him.
Which one fed their uncle to a pack of wild dogs?
They're pit bulls.
Oh, yeah.
They're trained.
Was it Don King or Kim Jong-un?
It was him, dude.
Oh, okay.
It was so...
Thank you.
Kim Jong-un killed his uncle.
It's so insane how so many different realities can exist on so many different planes. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the flat earthers. There's the born-again Christians. Mm-hmm. There's the people that feed their family to dogs, you know. But the thing is I've realized... The most troubling part, or not, like maybe we're all just living on our own plane somewhere. But it's like, you think you can go, come on, man, come on, what are you doing? Come on, you can't do that. Yeah. Like, come on.
What's wrong with you?
The answer is like, yes, I do. That's where he lives.
That's a sweet spot.
This is our biggest problem. This is our terrorism problem. Like, we just go over there and go, come on,
you guys,
we don't do this crap. Yeah. You have 14-year-old with an explosive vest. Come on, let's go see a concert. Like, let's go do. You don't get it,
infidel. Like,
the micro and the macro. When I say that, I just mean like the people you know. Sometimes people you work with, sometimes people you live with, sometimes people your neighbors, or sometimes people whatever. It's like every neighbor I've had a big dispute with, at some point I just went, come on, we're neighbors, come on. And it's like, no, this is how I choose to exist.
High conflict personality.
Right. You go, why? Yeah. Why do you want to do this? Why do you want to do it?
And
it's like, that's what I do. Yeah. And so our feeling when I see these guys is you're gonna kick them like a jukebox and fix them. You know, it's like the record is skipping and it's giving you just gonna hop and they're gonna go whoa,
that was weird.
The hills
where
are
I?
Alive.
Where was I?
What the sound of me? And that, you think you're gonna do one good Fonzarelli kind of just one good well placed kick in the shin and all of a sudden it's going right to normal. It's like no, that's where they're at.
They get off on the kick in the shin because they get to retaliate.
And then the people who have to live. Okay. Yeah. All right.
So, Kim Jong-un.
Yes. Jesus Christ.
Hey, let me say something. Mm. He's good friends with Dennis Rodman.
Mm-hmm.
He owns his own private island. They call him the Supreme Leader. He smokes butts. He weighs 290.
It's all very attractive.
He loves to draw pictures of Michael Jordan with a pencil.
Okay.
He does bring along his own chamber pot.
He sure does.
Oh, really?
He won't leave any DNA evidence anywhere he goes, and he only travels by train.
Oh.
Well, part
of the
reason
he's socially awkward, doesn't make eye contact when shaking hands.
I do that.
Went through school in Switzerland. He has a limp and needs a walking stick.
And no, and we talked about this. We talked about this the other day, and I don't know if we really got the consensus. You are not allowed to have his hairstyle if you live in North Korea.
Oh, you're not.
There is. You can choose from 15 different styles, and some are kind of close, but you cannot have his.
It's got to be. That's one of those things where, like, you get invited to a party that you never wanted to go to, and then at some point they call you and they go, "Man, I'm really sorry, but we only have 12 reserved, and I've invited 16 people, my in-laws," and you have to pretend. Yeah. You go, "Oh, wow.
Okay.
Oh, what man. A blow. Man, that's shoot. What am I going to do?
Can I send along a gift?
Jeez, this is brutal. Like, oh, I can't get my hair cut like an insane person." Oh, because I'm looking.
Are you sure it's not available? Are you sure?
I've been looking for ways to
make you solid.
I'm looking for ways to make my face look fatter, and this you're saying this is off the table now.
Yeah, it can't be done.
So I'm just gonna start eating more.
Unfortunately, yes.
Oh boy,
you're not gonna be able to start eating more.
Well,
we're starving most of the people.
I'm going to the Golden Corral.
Damn it.
All right. Also, this guy, travels with a chamber pot. He, how would you like to be the wrangler for that bad boy? Also, because he looks like he can do some damage. Number one. Number two, he travels by train, but part of it is because he has like a Chinese made, he doesn't have Air Force One.
Right.
Oh.
They don't have access to what we have.
Right.
They have like some Chinese or Soviet.
They have the North Korean version.
The dystopian
some Soviet-made version of this thing from the late 60s. Right. It's not really up to snuff. They're maybe having trouble getting parts for.
Oh, I don't know, the Concorde. It still kind of works.
Yeah, look into what he does for flying.
I thought why they met in Vietnam.
JV.
I'll meet you at the train station.
Yeah. JV.
Grand Central.
JV are all balls. I'm going JV. I don't like the way this guy treats his countrymen.
As has been alluded to, he's fed his uncle to wild dogs. He's a despot. He's a killer. The Otto Warmbier thing was particularly gross and disgusting. An American murdered by this regime. Although he denied it and Trump believes him. So all balls.
Well, well said.
Which part does Trump believe? He doesn't believe the Otto Warmbier part.
That just broke yesterday.
It does?
Yes, it just broke yesterday. Trump is like, he denies it, and I have to take him at his word.
That's literally the quote.
He didn't do it at the beginning.
Yeah,
he was pissed at the beginning.
That's the quote from 24 hours ago.
He called Kim Jong-un, quote, quite a character from their meeting.
Well, he denies it.
I don't want to defend Trump, but Trump is trying to not have any missiles fly in the air, and I think he understands that he's got to go talk to the world's worst person on the planet and shows to try to avoid this.
Wait a minute, man. You're the guy who often said that that these types of people, these bullies, these despots, these maniacs, don't respond to
decorum
and policy.
Yes.
Hey,
well,
diplomacy. Yeah, exactly. We're going to negotiate here. Like, they respond to strength, and what better opportunity is there for strength than to say, hey, man, you killed a goddamn American. You killed one of ours.
No, but what do we do?
I don't know. I'm just saying that their thing isn't jiving. I don't have a diplomatic solution for this.
Well, no, what I'm saying is people that are bullies, mainly sort of Al-Qaeda, ISIS, sort of those types, look at you as weak if you want diplomacy.
Mm-hmm.
I do look at it that way. This I look at as trying to avoid missiles landing in Japan, and I think he's trying to do whatever he's trying to do to try to do that. I don't know that there's a strength version. I think he would run over if there was a strength version that we could do to them. I think we would do it, but I don't know that we have that. That's the version, and I think he's just kissing his ass, trying to not. I mean, you can go. That's horrible, but I don't think he thinks he's a good guy. I don't think anyone thinks he's a good guy. I think he's trying to get him to not launch nukes. That's what I think.
It sounds
or test
like
nukes.
There are things he admires about him as a leader. I don't know if he thinks he's a good guy or not. I know he's super into this military parade we're going to have, but I don't know.
I can't imagine. Even Trump, I don't think he thinks he's a good guy.
I have no idea.
JV.
Oh, he can't. He doesn't think he's a good guy. Nobody thinks he's a good guy. I mean, as bad as you think Trump is, I don't think he thinks he's a good guy. I think here's what I think. I think not testing missiles and possibly nukes is Trump looks at, he's going to get himself a victory in 2020 if he can say, guess who stopped this?
Right. That's the goal. That's the end game.
So he's going to go over there and try to do whatever he can to get that done.
Okay.
And that's what I think is going on. So it still makes Trump a bad guy, but it still could save Japan.
Sure.
Okay, or Hawaii.
This is why you not care about Japan, Brandon.
I care less.
This is all JV. It's just JV soup to nuts.
All right. We say JV.
Except for Brian.
Brian says all
hell balls.
Wait, is he on?
Well, maybe you'll change your mind here. So he went to Kim Il-sung University, right? It doesn't even say what house he was in. JV.
Oh, he didn't pledge.
For a specific reason.
Oh.
I wish I'd known that.
He didn't pledge, huh? Yeah. You can't have
he
that.
May have,
he went to a school with his name on it.
Apparently that's
didn't
not important
pledge
to him, to the supreme leader.
All right, so...
You know, that,
yeah,
that minor detail. Mm-hmm.
So what do we need, a tiebreaker now with me and Gina? How does he try... Did you find out something about his plane, about Kim's plane?
So Gina's right. So he just went to Vietnam earlier this week, and he took a 60-hour train ride, although it could have been just a few hours on a plane. And the reason being is, like, when he met Trump, he does fly. He had to borrow the plane from China last time, a jumbo jet from China. So he hates borrowing things from China.
I was going to say.
Because they do a lot. They rely on China a lot for a lot of other things, so he doesn't want North Korea look like it's just a province of China.
It's a pride swallowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's
but
a
they
pride
can't
thing
make their own plane.
Yeah.
All right. So it's something with China and a plane, but he had to borrow a plane.
Yeah. He does own a plane. He owns a Soviet jet that's over 40 years old. Yeah.
That's over 40. Would anyone want to fly in those jets? They used it in Dumbo Drop. All right. Tiebreaker.
Okay. The tiebreaker. This is, I believe this is another tough one. And the tiebreaker is JV or all balls, sapphires.
Sapphires.
Sapphires. Interesting.
The gentleman's club?
No, the stone.
Oh, the stone.
The emeralds. Yeah, the
emeralds. Oh, there's this kind of stone, too?
Yeah, indeed there is. Probably was named after.
They're blue.
It's blue.
They named a stone after a strip club?
No, all the way around. The stone existed for, you know, millennia.
Not before the strip club.
Oh, yeah, probably for a millennia.
I'm going to look into
we'll
that.
We'll look into it, but I'm...
Find that auto warm beer thing and look in sapphires, too, because I got to believe...
It's probably a
the OG one was out on the original, where the old strip used to start in Vegas.
I think
goes way back.
It's a Greek origin.
It goes way back. All right.
Sapphires.
OG, you're saying Olympic Garden?
No, again...
Yeah, that's a kind of Greek motif.
Yeah, you're right, I guess so, with the gardens and everything, all Babylon
right
and all that.
No. All right, could we get on to JV or all balls? I'm going to let you go first.
Oh, thank you. That's kind. They're beautiful. They're fiery blue. Mm-hmm. They're actually not that expensive in the precious gem department. Mm-hmm. And but I have a girlfriend who has a sapphire engagement ring, and though it might not be my vibe, it is stunning. I applaud her for going a different way than the diamond. I say it's all balls.
Mm. Well, I'm going to go with JV. We got to break the tie.
BB.
What's that?
What is Ball Brian saying?
I'm out, man.
He's out.
Sorry, TFG. This is a two-way tiebreaker. Sorry about that.
Adam, the most expensive sapphire in the world that is 280 grams, its estimated value is at least $100 million U.S., mm-hmm, although it is expected to be up to $175 million. And this show, I wanted to tell you that the most valuable blue sapphire in the world is called the Star of Adam. All balls.
Yeah. I feel good about it. I'll take the win.
I forgot which one I chose.
You chose JV.
$170 million. That's going to be a hell of a strip club, man. That place got to be like a blimp hangar.
A complex.
How many champagne rooms? Can't count them all.
It's on an island.
Thanks, DFG.
You are a star, Adam.
Thank you.
That was JV or All Balls with the Deaf Rat Guy.
You can shoot him a tweet at Def Frat Guy. Boy, he covers a lot of ground, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He just, that's why you have to play JV or all ball.
He knows a lot about a lot.
All right. Let me tell you about Castrol Edge. You can tweet us at Adam Carolla Show with your hashtag Castrol Challenge with your questions for Castrol Edge and Castrol Challenge. Brought to you by Castrol Edge, formulated with fluid titanium technology. Reduces friction, maximizes engine performance. Three times, fool. Stronger against viscosity breakdown, leading full synthetic oil. It's Castrol Edge. What do you got, Max Pata?
All right, MP Old on Instagram wants to know, hashtag Castrol Challenge, if he should keep buying a new car every plus or minus fourth year, or let the car run for as many years as it can and buy something fun to drive on the summer instead.
I like the fun stuff. There's like a few folks in my neighborhood, like fun dads who got the Jeeps and pulled the doors off and throw the kids in and truck around in it. And it's like the fun car for the kids. And, you know,
we're wasting my time.
Sonny.
It's not safe.
They don't even know.
It doesn't have doors.
Don't go near the car. Oh, it's off. It's parked. I'm not going near that thing.
Oh, my God. Who's yelling at Natalia to put her seatbelt on the other day? It's crazy. I would say keep the car and get the fun stuff. And the fun stuff you can get pretty cheap on eBay and wherever now. Wherever you like TrueCar, whatever now. Because everything's, you know, once it's a few years old, it drops right on off. So good on you there. And thanks for Castrol Edge for presenting that. Let's see. I had an interesting car thought or sort of philosophy car thought. We're talking, we've been talking, and it's something that everybody should be concerned with for their family and for themselves, but that sort of part where everyone's staring at a screen and getting hooked on opioids and everyone's living in this sort of simulated world, and I've been preaching, you know, just go do it yourself, go clean your garage or go paint your fence or whatever it is, and then the argument's always pay that guy $8 an hour and he'll go do it for you. And I thought, okay, but do it yourself for the satisfaction and the movement and the energy and whatever, all the sanity. We need to invent games to keep us sane. Remember when you were a kid, when I was a kid, on a Saturday, on a hot day, you'd walk up and down the street in the neighborhood, and every third car would have the car parked in the driveway, and the guy was washing it.
Yep.
The bucket and the hose and the hose and the bucket.
Giant sponge.
Like I was Mike Bishop.
Yeah. There were scene, you know, there'd always be a scene in a movie, like Fast Times at Ridgemont High or something. Like, let's go wash your car. Go wash your car. Come on, son. We're going to wash your car. Get the bucket, and I'll spray with the hose, and it'll be gags and everything. And I thought you could walk. I've walked my dog 10,000 miles in my neighborhood. And not at once. I broke it off into three parts. I circle my neighborhood every single day. I've never seen anyone wash their car.
I've never seen anyone.
Now, I live in a rich neighborhood, and there's less of it. But I don't live in Beverly Hills, and I've lived in regular neighborhoods for the last 10 years, and I've not seen anyone out washing their car.
I feel like in L.A. or California specifically, the worm has turned such now there's a stigma against washing your car. Like, you're being wasteful if you wash your car to an extent.
That's true.
I guess, but we also don't care that much. Like, we will do stuff. I mean, there is drought, and I get it.
We don't care in this room. Like, I don't really
No, I mean, there's drought. There's times where they go, hey, it's drought time. It's water conservation time. It's blah, blah, blah. And maybe they say that all the time, but we're not really living there now. We're getting a ton of rain. And this has been over, this is about, I'm talking about 15 years. Like, I've not seen anybody. I see them watering their lawns. Yeah, I see them hosing stuff. I just don't see them physically washing their car. Well, and those it's $8.
Those do-it-yourself sort of coin-op ones seem to be always full, you know, where they're hosing them down in there, but they're not doing it at home.
They're not doing it. The coin-op ones, here's my theory. Is there a sadder dwelling than the apartment above the coin-op?
Oh, God, no.
One? It's the same shape. It's the monolith. It's a square box with the two windows and the stucco. They always have
there?
That little apartment on there.
Yeah.
Here's my theory. The coin-op ones, because I used to go all the time. The coin-op ones are busy by people who live in apartments and can't afford to take the car to the car wash. So they go, the poor people go do it themselves out of necessity, and they can't do it in front of their apartment building. That ain't the person who lives in a decent dwelling house taking it there. Mm-hmm. That's poor guys. And poor people are always going to be poor, and they're always going to do their own work. I'm saying
but
the middle
proud.
Class. The
they
middle,
want that car washed.
The middle class, which is, well, you got to think about this. A lot of them are driving for Uber part-time now and kind of have to do it now and again. But the middle class used to do it. Is a little bit of a rite of passage. Like, there'd be like, well, once my son gets to 10 or 11, he can come out and help me, or my daughter can get the suds bucket. And there's an element of, hey, it's my car, and I'll wash it myself. And then there's an element of, yeah, they have a car wash, but they don't do it right over there. I know how to do it, and I do it for myself. And then there's an element of, yeah, I could take it there and give the guy 10 bucks, but I don't do that. Right. This is my car. Mm-hmm. This is what I do. This is part of home ownership and living in the community and blah, blah, blah. And now it's like car wash is $8, maybe $9. And it would technically be a waste of your time to wash your own car.
Yeah.
But you should still do it, is what I'm saying. You should get your son and daughter. You should go out there. You should wash your own car. It's your vehicle. Mm. It's an activity. It has to. You can't stare at a screen and wash your car.
It's a less celebratory version of the Christmas tree. Like, if that's all effort and that's all money, and that's like, it would make more sense to like, hey man, here's $40. You know, set up the tree, put the ornaments on it, blah blah blah. No, you should do it.
Yeah,
it's ritualistic.
And the offshoot of that is, when's the last time you saw a charity car wash?
Oh no, never. I don't see those
with the cheerleaders.
Yeah, I don't see those. And like I said, I've not seen anyone just in their driveway washing their car in 15 years. All right, another sad testimony. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll figure out what we're going to do when we come back right after this.
Thursday, March 7th at 10E in downtown Los Angeles, Corolla Drinks presents the 10E Booze and Book Club. Featuring Up on Game. I was wearing oversized creased solo jeans, a button-up short-sleeved flannel, black sunglasses, gloves, and a black-and-white hat. Patrons and employees looked my way on several occasions. Seems being dressed like a bank-robbing cholo while in line at a bank was somewhat suspicious. I looked around several times to make sure no one was creeping up on me, and then I heard it. A young woman's cheery voice said, "Next." One more quick thought. Walk out and say it was a bust, or just do it? If I don't do it, the homies will think I'm a bitch, I thought to myself. Can't be having that. Hear me read a chapter from Up on Game and meet former bank robber and guest of the state of California, entrepreneur Richard Stanley. Plus, be one of the first to taste the Lederhosen, the newest Mangria signature cocktail. The event is free. Details on the events page at adamcarolla.com. Up on Game, available on iTunes and Audible.